could leave now and say it's been good to be in church this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with us to Mark chapter 8, if you will. Mark chapter 8 in your Bibles. I'll read about five verses. We'll pray together. Ask the Lord to help us. I want to preach just a little bit this morning about this blind man of Bethsaida. Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. We'll start reading there. The Bible says that he cometh to Bethany, that's speaking of Jesus, and they, that is the disciples, well, it says, and he cometh to Bethany, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible and the opportunity, Lord, to have a copy of the Word of the Lord, to be able to read it in public, proclaim it, preach it, study it. We thank you for that. I thank you for the good Sunday school hour today. Thank you for the good singing we've enjoyed during the worship service thus far. I pray that you would help us now as we look at these verses this morning. I pray that you would preach through us in such a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. Pray that God's people would be encouraged and edified and would learn something from this miracle that you have performed. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's lost this morning, they would recognize the blindness of sin, how that Satan has blinded their minds, and Lord, that they would see their need of a Savior. Maybe even today would be the day that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, we sure thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are several things that we need to think about or consider concerning this miracle here in the Bible by way of introduction. This is the only record of this miracle in the gospel. Some of the miracles are repeated in other of the four gospels. Mark is the only one who records this particular miracle here in Bethsaida. This is the only recorded miracle of Jesus that occurs in two stages, or there seems to be two parts to the miracle. This is also the only miracle where Jesus asked an individual if he was healed. All of those are very interesting things and facts concerning this particular miracle. Now, I believe it's also important for us to know, I didn't think about it. Well, I thought about it this morning, but then I forgot to look it up. But I believe that the healing of blind individuals may be the most that we have recorded of any particular thing. I know there were several demonics that were healed at different times, but I think blind men may be the most as far as the number of folks that we have record of miracles of being healed. In fact, Jesus healed at least 8 blind men using a variety of methods or approaches. I want to look at them quickly by way of introduction. Look at Matthew. Hold your place in Mark chapter 8. We're going to come right back there. And we're going to have a long introduction. You'll be glad to know it'll be a very short sermon. But a long introduction. So look at Matthew, if you will, chapter 9 for just a moment. That's how us preachers get by. We're preaching short sermons. Amen. Look at this in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus healed 2 blind men here in Matthew chapter 9 by simply a touch of their eyes. Look at this in verse 27, Matthew chapter 9. And when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. I think it would be hard not to tell people if you were blind and the Lord opened your eyes. It would be something you'd want to tell, amen. And I don't know how anyone that gets saved, such a tremendous miracle takes place in your life, how that you would keep that to yourself very long. I believe you'd have to tell somebody about that. And so Jesus touched those two blind men, and they were healed. There are several things we could say about that particular miracle, but that's not our topic today. Look at Matthew chapter 12, if you will. In Matthew chapter 12, a blind and mute man, the Bible says dumb. It means he wasn't able to talk. It doesn't mean he's like some of your IQs. I'm just kidding. It just means that he wasn't able to talk, amen. And so there's a blind and mute man that was healed, and there's no explanation giving concerning his healing at all. Look at verse number 22, Matthew chapter 12. The Bible says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. What a blessing. We know how Jesus done that. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just says he healed him, amen. Now look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, two more blind men are healed by a simple touch of the Master's hand. I tell you, we need a touch from God, don't we? Look what the Bible says in verse number 29, Matthew chapter 20. The Bible says, and they departed from Jericho, a great multitude. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Now, I love this. So Jesus had compassion on them. Aren't you glad that our Savior is a compassionate Savior? He had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Now look at this. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Now come to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus was healed with a simple word from the Lord. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, look at verse number 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, said unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. I like this, and followed Jesus in the way. I'll tell you, we have great reason to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He has opened our blinded eyes. Amen. Look at John chapter 9. We'll look at this last one, then we'll get to our text. John chapter 9. Here in John chapter 9, the blind man was healed by having an ointment of clay and spittle placed upon his eyes or applied to his eyes, followed by washing in the pool of Siloam. The Bible says in John chapter 9 and verse number 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while this day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." So we see several things in these miracles of the healing of these blind men. The Lord didn't do the miracles in the same way or in the same fashion. Some sat by the wayside. Some followed him. Jesus went to where some of them were at. I tell you, whatever the case is or whatever the situation is, all of that stuff is not all of that important. What is important is that Jesus will touch you and heal you. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. So in our text, come back to Mark chapter 8, and sermon today, the blind man of Bethsaida was healed with touch and spittle in two ways. Now, you say, why is that the case? Why would it be that the Lord did it so differently? Well, I, as I've already mentioned, I believe it is to prove to us that the Lord doesn't always do things the same way. You can't put God in a box, amen. He is God. He can do whatever He wants to, however He wants to, except for there's some things in the Bible that the Bible says that God cannot do. We're thankful that God cannot lie. We're thankful that God does not remember our sin anymore. That's a blessing. But I'm glad that the Lord can touch people's lives, change people's lives, heal people, make people whole at any time He wants to, in any way that He wants to. Amen. And so I think it is to show us that prayer is not always answered the same way. I'll give you some examples. God may say yes and answer your prayer immediately. We saw that with some of these men asking Jesus to heal them. We also saw that God may say yes, but wait a while before answering. God may say yes, but not answer that in the way that you thought it should be answered or in the way that you expected Him to answer that. Now, I've mentioned some of this before, but I think I would be a little bit drawn back by someone spitting in my eyes, amen. And so I'm certain that when that blind man asked the Lord to heal him, he was not expecting God to spit on the ground and make clay of that spittle and put it upon his eyes, or as this man that we're looking at, for him to spit in his eyes. But I'll tell you, if you were blind and God made you able to see, you'd probably get over that pretty quickly, amen. Now, sometimes we pray prayers and God says no. And the reason that God says no is because He knows better than you and I. I can honestly say that there's been numerous times in my life that I have prayed, I have besought God, I have begged God on some instances for some things, and the Lord's answer was no. And later on in life, I am very, very thankful that God said no. You know why? He knew what was best, amen. And so we're going to look at this text just briefly this morning and see what we can glean from this miracle that we're looking at today. First of all, we see this blind man, we see his plea for healing, his begging, his pleading with the Lord for healing. Notice what it says. The Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him." Now, this is different. We read those other accounts of those blind men because they asked Jesus to heal them. They asked Jesus to open their eyes. Here in this particular miracle, we have the disciples asking Jesus on their behalf. So we see the plea. The first thing we notice is that this healing was initiated by others. The Bible says here that they, the disciples, brought him. You know, you and I, who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be about the business of bringing others. Amen. I know some folks are here this morning because they have been invited by others. Ryan was looking for someone that he had invited to come this morning. I'm sure there's others of you that invited others to come today. But here, these disciples, they brought this man. And not only did they bring him, the second thing that we notice is they brought him to the right place. They brought him to Jesus. They didn't. Now listen, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not against eye doctors. I'd be foolish to say that standing here wearing glasses. I'm not like them charlatans on TV that claim to be healers and they're wearing glasses. But anyway, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against eye doctors. I'm not against any of that stuff at all whatsoever. But they didn't bring this man to a doctor. They brought him to Jesus. And so they brought him to the right place. They could have taken him to some kind of hocus pocus witch doctor or whatever the case may be. But instead they brought him to the place that he could receive eternal healing. And that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be bringing folks to Jesus. Now the third thing that we notice is that they, the disciples, had the right faith. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, and he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring the blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Now that word besought means to beg or to entreat. So these disciples, they bring this blind man to Jesus, and they beg Jesus to touch him. You know why? The disciples understood that, you know, at this time, I know that the apostles had healing power and all of that, but these followers of Jesus, they brought this man directly to Jesus and they begged Jesus that he would touch him. I tell you what you and I need to do. We need to bring people to Jesus and beg him to touch their lives. Amen. And so that's exactly what happened here. And the Lord did just that. So we see the plea for healing. And then we see something that oftentimes takes us aback or takes us off guard somewhat or maybe gives us reason to search a little deeper or ask a little a few more questions or study a little harder or try to figure out why this was so different than the other miracles. And so the second thing we see is the partial healing. Notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but notice the compassion of Christ. Jesus took this man by the hand. Now, I'm not in any way trying to be harsh or anything like that at all. If you're here, you're blind, you know someone that is blind. I mean no disrespect at all by this, but I'm sure that this blind man had many people in his life. I don't know his age. I don't know how old he is. I don't know anything concerning that. I do believe that he is an adult man. But I don't know how many times in this man's life different people had taken hold of his hand and led him in some direction or in some place that he desired to go or needed to go and was not able to get there by himself. But all of a sudden, he had a man touch his hand who had never touched his hand before, and this man was Jesus. And so the Bible says that he took him by the hand. He took the blind man by the hand. What a blessing. It is a blessing that anyone that is capable and able is willing to help someone who needs help. But man, when Jesus grabs a hold of your hand, you're talking about compassion. You're talking about mercy. You're talking about grace. You're talking about a difference a man can make. And so Jesus grabbed this man by the hand and he begins to lead him. What a blessing. Now notice where Jesus leads him. The Bible says he took him by the hand and led him out of town. Now, I'm sure that in the course of this man's life, many people had led him many places. However, no blind man had ever been led by such a leader as this. And Jesus led him out of town. I believe that Jesus was leading him away from the crowds. He was leading him away from the world. There's a representation here of separation and repentance. Jesus, I'm taking you out of your comfort place. I'm taking you out of what is familiar to you. I can't imagine how disruptive that would be in the life of someone who was blind and not able to see. I'm certain that they are far more comfortable in a place that they are familiar and in a place where they stay that they know where things are at and they know how to get around. And so Jesus takes him from this place of comfort to a place that he's not familiar with. Can I just tell you that if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to come to a place in your life where you're not willing to stay with the status quo. You're willing to get out of your comfort zone. The Bible talks about the repentance toward God. You're turning from self. You're turning from religion. You're turning from your way of life. You repent towards God and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so here's this blind man, and the Lord takes him by the hand and he leads him out of town. Did Jesus have to do that? No, he didn't have to do that. He chose to do that for a reason. Now, let me hold your place here and come to Matthew chapter 11. Bethsaida is the city that they're in, and it is a city under judgment. And so there is an application here. Look at this. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee," here it is, "Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and judgment." And so Bethsaida is under judgment, and God leads him out of there. It is a representation of you and I. When we get saved, the Lord leads us out of the world, which is under judgment. Amen. And so he grabs this man by the hand and he leads him out of town. And then this happened. Jesus spit on his eyes. I want to tell you, allowing this to be done requires great humility. If you're going to get saved, you're going to have to humble yourself. It was mentioned this morning during Sunday school by Brother Jordan about pride. Listen, your pride will cause you to die lost without God. Your pride will cause you to spend eternity separated from the Lord. Here is a man that, even though his life was not up to par, as some people would think, there was infirmities in his life. I tell you, there's none of us who don't have infirmities in our life. There's none of us who don't have problems in our life. There's none of us that don't have difficulties in our life. But Jesus wants to lead us from our comfort zone into a place of repentance and separation from the world. And then he may just spit in your face. Why? So you'll humble yourself. And let me show you. Hold your place and come to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. And don't take me wrong. I don't think Jesus is going to literally spit in your face. But there has certainly been some things that the Lord has allowed to take place in my life that were just as humbling and humiliating. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Look at verse number 6. I'll read verse number 5. The Bible says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back." This is speaking a prophecy concerning the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. He said, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, he humbled himself and allowed his creation to spit on he who was the creator, showing us in humility how that he was willing to sacrifice his life for you and I. And he tries to bring us to a place of humility so that we will turn from ourselves and turn to the Lord Jesus. Now, come back to our text, Mark chapter number 8. So Jesus spit in his eyes. Now, notice the next thing he did. We're still in the verse. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him. Now, there is no way to explain all that takes place or all that transforms when Jesus puts his hands upon your life. Can I just tell you this? I praise the Lord for the day that God put his hands on my life. I had come to a place of humility. I came to a place where I no longer, the things that I held dear and the things that I cherished were no longer the things that mattered. I was only interested in what the Lord could do for me, and He done it. Amen. So I'm glad He put His hands on me. Now, then we see this last thing in the verse. It says, He asked him if he saw aught. Now, the word aught here means anyone or anything. In verse number 23, it seems as if the blind man was led by Jesus to repentance, humility, and the receiving of sight. Now, can I just say this? If you're being led by Jesus, there will be repentance. I want to say that again. If you're being led by Jesus, there will be repentance. If there's been no repentance in your life, there's no way that you can be led by Jesus and continue to live and act the same old way as if you were being led. You're being led. If you're being led by Jesus, you're being led in the opposite direction of your old life. Amen. Now, if you're being led by Jesus, humility will be evident in your life. Because you will, if you're being led by Jesus, you realize who you were, what you were, where you were, and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. And it's humbling to think He'd even touch my hand, much less take me by the hand and lead me. Amen. What a blessing. If you're being led by Jesus, you will definitely see things different than before. This man saw men as trees walking. Look at verse number 24. So Jesus asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. This is intriguing. If you were born blind, I don't know how you would have any idea. You may have some idea, but I don't know that you would recognize what was actually a man. If you had been born blind and all of a sudden you were made to see, I am sure that through your senses you would have an idea of what a tree was by feel and smell and all those kind of things, maybe even by hearing. But by sight, I don't know that you would recognize what a tree was. And so here is a man who we suppose was born blind. Jesus has took him by the hand. He has led him out of the town. He has spit in his eyes. He has touched him with his hands. And he asked him the question, can you see? Oh, and the man said, I see men as trees walking. So listen, there's two things that are taking place here. Not only has God miraculously touched his sight, but it seems like he has also given him understanding of what he is seeing with this new sight. And so there's more than one thing that's taking place here. God has not only given him vision, God has given him comprehension. God has given him understanding of things that he can say. So what we have here is a double miracle. Not only can he see, but he knows what he's looking at. Now look, he wasn't seeing clearly. We understand that, but he could see. He had some understanding of what he saw. So we see the partial healing. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to do that, so I'll wait. Now here's the third thing. The perfect healing. Look at verse 25. After that, he put his hands on him. Don't miss this word. Again. He put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone or tell it to any in the town. So Jesus put his hands upon his eyes again. Can I ask you a question? Aren't you glad that Jesus will touch you again? I praise the Lord for the numerous times, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, not just 100 times, but over and over and over again, Jesus has had compassion, and Jesus has been merciful, and Jesus has been willing to humble me and to put His hands upon me and to lead me again to the place that I needed to go in. What a blessing. So we see the perfect healing. Now, look, I like this. And that after that, He put His hands again upon him and He made him look up. Now, that's important. He made him look up. If you're going to receive the help, if we're going to receive the help that we need, we're going to need to look up. You're going to have to stop looking down on others. You're going to have to stop looking around at what's going on in the world. You're going to have to stop looking within to receive help from self. You're going to have to humble yourself and get your eyes open to the fact that there's only one that can help you, and His name is Jesus, amen. And He wants to help you. He made this man look up. You know, sometimes the reason that He spits in our eyes is to cause us to look in the direction that He wants us to look. Sometimes things take place in our life that they're not pleasant and they're not pleasing and they're very undesirable and we don't like them and we wish we didn't have to go through them. But the intent of it is so in humility we'll look up to the Savior from which cometh our help. Amen. The Lord wants to help us. He made him look up. Jesus restored him completely. The Bible says that he can now see every man clearly. Now, in verse number 26, an interesting thing. The Bible says in verse number 26, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. So Jesus has led him out of town. Remember, I mentioned that Bethsaida was under judgment. This world is under judgment. The Lord has led him out of that town. He said, I want you to go to your house, and I don't want you to go back there. Can I tell you something, friend? When the Lord opens our blinded eyes, and He touches our life, and He leads us out of sin and out of the world, He doesn't want us returning there, amen. He wants us to look up to Him from whence cometh our help and stay away from that ungodly world, amen. The separation is involved. Now, here's just a couple things that I want to mention. Now, what is it that the Lord wants us to learn from this miracle? There's a few things that the Lord wants us to learn from this miracle. We've already learned some things from the miracle. But one thing I want you to understand is the complete blindness of the lost. The complete blindness of the lost. This particular blind man was brought to Jesus by those disciples that cared for him. I know that as I read those other, and I wanted to read all of them so that you would know, there were many of them, there were several of those blind men who sat by the wayside and they called out to Jesus. And there were some who followed Him seeking that He would help them. And praise the Lord for those that do that. But there's some that is going to need you and I to bring them to a place where Jesus can help them receive their sight. Amen. And so we see the complete blindness of the lost. Now, the second thing we see is the partial but improving sight of the saved. Now, when you get saved, you're not going to be able to see everything all at once. I think this miracle here is a great example how that when we get saved, praise the Lord, our eyes is open and we even have comprehension and understanding of some things, but everything is not clear. But I'm glad the Lord leads us along, amen, and salvation becomes clearer after a while. By the love of God becomes clearer after a while. Our desire and our need for separation from the world becomes clearer after a while. The understanding of the Bible becomes clearer after a while. We don't get it all at once. We're born again. Newborn babes don't have a prime rib for supper, amen. And neither do adults, by the way. At least He's not this way. But they're on the milk, and they have to learn and gradually grow and all of those kind of things. But praise God that He leads us along, and He'll touch us again, and He'll give us a little understanding here, and He'll make our vision a little bit clearer here. And as we continue our walk with Him, He continues to plead with us to stay away from the world and to stay away from that and to separate from those things and to grow and learn as our eyes continue to open concerning the things of the Lord. What a blessing, amen. Now, we should never assume, I am afraid this happens way too often among Christian folks, and it should not be that way. But we should never assume that because we can see some truth, that we know all truth. Because I promise you, our eyes, there are many things in this Bible that we still don't see clearly. But I'm glad the Lord continues to desire to lead us and to help us to see those things clearly. In fact, we only see a reflection is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13. But one day, brother, we're going to see Him as He is. Amen. What a day that's going to be. We also need to realize that seeing a little doesn't mean that we see clearly. I'll tell you something about this book. It's deeper than any man can dive. And I've often made this statement, and I've heard others make this statement as well, and the statement is very true. The more of this book that I learn, the less of this book that I know. And why is that, preacher? Because God just continues to open your eyes to other things, and you can't yet see them clearly, but you know they're there. There's truths, and there's fascinating things, and there's wonderful things about the Savior and the millennium and eternity and all of those things. God continues to let you see just a little bit more and a little bit more. But one of these days, we're going to know it all. Amen. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to be like Him. And we're going to be rid of these incorruptible, immortal bodies and have bodies likened unto the Son of God. And that's going to be a blessed time. So listen, if we don't fully understand all that we see in Scripture and Jesus, we need to be patient. I think this miracle is also to teach you and I to be patient with others. Their eyes may have been opened. God may have given them sight. They may have a certain amount of comprehension. But just because your eyes have been made to see a little clearer doesn't mean theirs have just yet. There ought to be some patience. There ought to be some kindness in your life. There ought to be some charity and some long-suffering. You know why? Because there's others who see more clearly than you. And there's others who see more clearly than me. And I praise the Lord that along with our Savior, they're gentle and caring and long-suffering. The Lord wants us to see clearly. And He leads us. I'm thinking of that song, He leads us along. What a blessing. Now here's my conclusion. I'm done. This is a very encouraging miracle for many reasons. The first one is, maybe when you read your Bible, you say, well, I didn't get much out of it. Or maybe when you come to church, maybe you say, a lot of that stuff just goes right over my head. I didn't get it. Maybe your walk with Christ is oftentimes shaky and maybe even a little shady, and it's just not near as steady as you would like to be. I understand all of those things. I'm not making an excuse for any of those things. But aren't you glad you can see? There was a time when you didn't even know that you didn't understand. There was a time when you didn't even know that your walk was going in any direction incorrect. There was a time when you didn't know that you didn't understand anything about the Bible. Aren't you glad that you can just see? I want to encourage you, if you stick around long enough, Jesus might just touch you again. and give you just a little bit more understanding. He might just touch you again and give you a little bit more compassion. He might just touch you again and give you a little more grace and a little more mercy and a little more love and a little more desire to be faithful to the things of God. There are many things in this Bible that still looks a little fuzzy to me. But it sure is exciting when I'm sitting at home or in my office, in my study, and I'm reading the pages of this book, and the Lord just give me a little nudge. So you see that? It's been there all along. And you've read that 100 times. But today, I'm going to touch you and let you see a little more truth and a little more light. Just hang on. He may touch us again. Piano player's coming this morning. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're blind, you have no idea that the direction in which you're headed is destruction. If you refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to be as that rich man in Luke chapter 16. One of these days you're going to die. You're going to lift your eyes in hell, being in torments. What a horrible thing. Jesus has paid the price on the cross of Calvary for you to be saved. I would trust Him for salvation. If you're here today and your eyes have been opened, and you know that, you believe that, the Lord has given you an amount of understanding and an amount of comprehending, things that you have never seen in your life. Although they're fuzzy, you can see that they're different. The Lord wants to touch you again and give you some understanding that you have not yet received. While she plays this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed just a few moments, would you come? I'll confess an honest fault with you. I probably can't help you. I'll be more than happy to try. I'll be more than happy to read Scripture with you, share truth with you from the Bible, pray with you. I'll try my best to help you bear your burden. But I'll tell you one that can help you. Jesus commanded this blind man after he had touched him. He said, look up. And I want to encourage you today to look up, because our help comes from the Lord. Would you come? Anybody at all want to come this morning? Oh, the Lord wants to help you.